My name is Joe Scott. I've been a pro-life sidewalk counselor outside of abortion mills for the past 27 years, and I've seen hundreds of moms change their mind, and scores of them have trusted in Christ. Every day I'm confronted by people with accusations and questions about God, so my understanding of the Bible needs to be accurate and defensible. One of the most valuable tools in my ministry is Bob Enyart's manuscript, The Plot. Although I was educated in theology, I didn't quite understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. After reading The Plot, questions that I had for years were answered, and that in turn made me a more effective witness on the street. I would strongly recommend The Plot to anyone who has a real desire to represent God's word responsibly and accurately to our lost and dying world. I'm hoping that you will order The Plot online at kgov.com. That's kgov.com, or by calling 1-800-8-ENYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. Thank you.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart. Recently, the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship brought into Colorado Dr. Don Patton to speak about Noah's Ark, a feasibility study. Is it possible what we read in the Bible? And also, what's the latest news in ongoing efforts searching for Noah's Ark? Well, I want to tell you something about Dr. Don Patton. Back in 2004, I was involved in a mammoth debate called Battle Royale 10, and during the debate, it's a 10-round moderated written debate, lasted for about 6 weeks. During the debate, there was an archaeological discovery in Jerusalem, and it was the Pool of Siloam, as we read about in the Bible, and it turns out that Dr. Don was involved in the excavation of the Pool of Siloam. Well, he has worked as a geologist in the U.S. He's excavated the longest consecutive dinosaur trail on the American continent here. He's worked as a geologist in Canada, Australia, England, Mexico, Peru, Bolivia, Jordan, Israel, and we saved the last, Turkey, because in Turkey, if you recall, about a year and a half ago, Chinese Christians held a press conference, and the news went around the world that possibly Noah's Ark was found. Well, the biblical creationists are as interested in that topic as anyone, actually more so. And within a very short period of time, the major creation science ministries came out and said that this was a fraud. Well, Dr. Don Patton, he was on the mountain. He was brought to the site, and it's because of him that we found out so quickly what really had gone on there. So welcome, Dr. Patton, to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you in studio, Dr. Don. I saw you in person give your presentation on the dinosaur footprints with the human footprints in Glen Rose, Texas. What an extraordinary story, and I hope we can do a show on that one of these days.
That would be great.
So can you give us the background? You know the people who were involved in this claim that Noah's Ark was found.
We'd had experience with them for several years and had worked with them. We had agreed to combine our efforts. They had built the life-size replica in Hong Kong, and we'd conferred with them on that while they were building and were there in Hong Kong helping. And knew the people well. We told them what we were doing in terms of our research there, and they were excited about it. But then this claim came from Mr. Parachute, one of the locals there near Mount Ararat.
This is a wealthy Turk. He is now. He is now? Okay.
He's gotten the money from the Chinese as a result of his claims.
Chinese Christians who are excited in telling the world about Noah's Ark.
Right. And he convinced them that he found it. We were working on our project. He called them and said he has found it. He's standing in it. And we flew to Turkey. We wanted to go look and see. He wouldn't take us up. And some of the pictures that he showed were obvious frauds, and so they kind of cooled it, backed away. But then they came out with this press conference that you're talking about. Well, I knew the fella. I had caught him in a number of misrepresentations. I decided to go up to the site where he was making the claim that mm-hmm. had been filmed and had been shown on the internet in their TV programs. They made a video. They've sold millions of them to a large audience in China. And that's really where a good bit of the money has come from. One of his workers that had helped him, been working with him for a number of years, became very disillusioned. He was told he was building a movie set. And so at 14,000 feet up on the side of Mount Ararat, very steep area where there's a moving glacier, they decided in one of the crevasses to build a movie set.
In other words, so you get a camera up there and say, we're going to make a movie about Noah's Ark.
Yes.
And so you said 14,000 feet, and Dr. Don Patton we're talking about. Dr. Don will give people your internet address and all so they could find out more about this and the fascinating work that you do. We'll do that in a moment. But here in Colorado, we have about 14,000-foot mountains. That's as tall as we get here. When you get up there, it's rough. The air is thin. It's awfully cold. It's cold in the summertime. And you're talking about a moving glacier. I've had the opportunity to climb a number of these mountains here in Colorado to summit them. And then in Alaska, I've been on a couple glaciers, and that could be dangerous.
Definitely.
It could be dangerous. So, and you've got these crevasses, which yes. where my experience in Alaska, I'm on a glacier, and the ice melts, and it goes down into a steep crevice. And if you fall into one of those, you might never come out.
Exactly.
So,
that's a definite danger, and we've had several close calls.
And oftentimes, when it gets warmer, there's running water at the bottom of them.
Right.
And that's also a problem, because you end up in the bottom, and you end up freezing.
Yes.
And you think you might not make it out. So you got up there, you're 14,000 feet up on Mount Ararat, and what did you find?
Well, we were taken there by this worker who was disillusioned. He found out by reading the newspaper and seeing the accounts on TV that they were claiming they had found Noah's Ark. He built it. You know, he knew better.
He built it. He was hired by this guy to help build a movie set.
Yes. And so he was very upset and talked to some of the friends that we have there in the area that were helping us with our project and agreed to carry me to the site. So we climbed the mountain. We got to the site. Looked at the place where they had built this into the crevasse. This looked like wall. It was wood that they had brought from the Black Sea, a couple of carpenters working with him. They had gotten wood, not quite balsa wood, more like an orange crate type wood, very light, but modern fresh. They had charred it, probably with a blowtorch, because it's a very thin, blackened layer.
In fact, you show the wood in a video, very important video, at noahsark.tv,
right.
And there's a hyphen in there, so noahs-ark.tv, and if you just look at the video with Dr. Don Patton and Noah's Ark fraud, you find out we can see the wood that was used in the photographs
yes.
that went all over the world, and some video, too, if I recall.
Right.
And that wood, well, why don't you tell us about that wood? Because you ended up with that wood in your hands, and you brought it down to the base of the mountain where you, and there's a seismologist who's worked at the Ataturk University for 25 years.
Head of the Department of Seismology.
Head of the department. He's in the video with you.
Right.
So could you tell us about that wood a little bit more? Because we can see the wood.
And that's all you really have to do. It's light wood, about like an orange crate.
Mm-hmm.
Charred, but it's fresh wood. We sawed across it, and it's just as light, almost white with the black area. And he had rubbed some ash over the surface to make it even blacker. And that's what they built into the wall of the glacier. And when you get the camera up close after they've built it, it looks like the wall inside an ark, or at least it would certainly fit that description. But that's all they showed. Well, when you back up and you see the context and then you pick the wood up and look at it, it's just an obvious fraud.
It's a fraud, and you have the eyewitness testimony, the firsthand account of one of the men who was hired to build it, who realized he was being used to perpetrate a fraud.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so the Chinese Christians who have supported this, they've got a lot of money. They've seemed to have good hearts. I mean, they built a full-size Noah's Ark. There's one thing to be involved in intentional fraud. It's another thing to be deceived. They're both sad, but the intentional fraud is far worse.
Yeah, they're at best very naive.
Very naive.
They should know better.
I think that video, when that went up on the internet, that pretty much around the world utterly debunked the claim.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Dr. Randall Price had the material on his website as well. He is a distinguished professor of Judaic studies at Liberty University and climbed the mountain with me. Now, he didn't go to the fraud site, but he had been to our site.
To your site, which we'll get to in just a moment.
Right.
That's so fascinating. So, okay. So this story has been debunked. There have been many supposed claimed Ark sightings. The first editor of National Geographic magazine, he talked about Noah's Ark in a way that today the editor of National Geographic would not talk about Noah's Ark. But can you remind me, he had quite a quote.
Gilbert Grosvenor was the first editor of National Geographic. He passed away in 1966. He made this comment. The discovery of Noah's Ark would be the greatest archaeological find in human history, the greatest event since the resurrection of Christ, and it would alter all the currents of scientific thought.
Wow.
I don't think we can really comprehend the significance. The books about biology and zoology, they have to go back to begin at Mount Ararat rather than beginning billions of years ago. It just rewrites the history, rewrites a lot of the religious histories that are trying to incorporate evolution into their teaching of the Bible.
And the founders, the fathers of many of the physical sciences, from Isaac Newton and right before and after Darwin, so many of them believed in the creator God of the Bible. The beginnings of geology were based on God's word, the scriptures, and the global flood, which explains so much of the surface of the earth all over the world. And then when that was booted out, everything was nothing but a mystery because uniformitarian processes don't describe what we see all over the world for the most part. In fact, Dr. Patton, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I've had an interest in following up on the Royal Geological Society of, you know, 150 years ago. And a lot of the members of that, they were not geologists. They weren't scientists. They had an axe to grind against monarchy, of all things. And they thought that if the Bible record was true, then they'd have a hard time refuting a monarchy. And so they were out to say the earth was millions of years old. There was no global flood. And it was really a political move that had its agenda in rejecting the scriptures.
I think that's true, and there are a lot of factors that I think Satan was using to overcome the truth.
Sure.
You go back even further, you see Nicholas Steno, for example, who's now known as the father of modern stratigraphy.
Strata.
Right. He's the one that taught us how to interpret it. And if you're studying stratigraphy today, you've got his 12 axioms that you have to memorize or you're not going to pass stratigraphy. That's how you do it. But he believed all of that was done by the flood. Now, people will say, well, flood geology doesn't explain the real world of geology, but explained it well enough for him to write the rules 300 years ago worked perfectly.
Yeah.
And that's not been acknowledged till fairly recently. When I was doing research at Cambridge, I found one of the original editions of his book, and the flypiece was opened there in the museum at Trinity College. It said, dedicated to the proof of the Noachian deluge.
Oh, wow. And
that's where he's coming from.
Dr. Patton, that's exciting. And the same thing with Johann Kepler and his laws of planetary motion and Isaac Newton. These guys made concerted efforts to show from the world that God's word is true. And today, the line is, if you believe the Bible, you must be uneducated. Well, the fathers of the physical sciences, that doesn't mean that they were right, but it disproves the lie that if you believe in the Bible, you must be a fool, gullible, or uneducated scientifically.
Sir Isaac Newton was not a fool.
No, he wasn't.
Absolute genius, and we're standing on his shoulders today in science.
That's right. And that's what he said about the men who came before him,
right,
going back to Copernicus.
Right.
But forget Aristotle, Plato, they messed up the whole thing. Hey, so could we continue now? If Noah's Ark was ever found, then that would turn the world of science and history, archaeology on its head. We creationists, we'd be having a blast. We'd have a really good time for a long, long time. But so you've been repeatedly to Mount Ararat. I've spent 3 weeks in Turkey leading a Bible tour there. We have a video, a Bible tour of Turkey. But we never went to Ararat. We went to all the other biblical sites, from Antioch at near Syria, right through Ephesus and all, but never eastern Turkey.
There's a good reason.
There's a good reason, right? You've been there a number of times.
It's not a tourist area, and I wouldn't take my friends to eastern Turkey. They're killing people right and left. There's been a war there the last 20 years between the Kurds and the Turks. The body count exceeds what we experienced in Vietnam.
One of your associates was killed.
Yes, in 2009. He was captured and executed while we were on the mountain.
Mm.
These are not nice people. While we were there in Dogebayazit, two blocks from where we were, there were 14 soldiers massacred during the night. 50 miles down to the west, a town where we had been just 2 weeks earlier, there was a congregation of believers in Christ, and they say they have religious freedom there, but if you're already a Christian, yes, but you try to convert somebody, and it's a death sentence.
Mm.
But reluctantly, they did allow them to worship. There were four believers who were coming home after Sunday night worship, and they had their throats slit while we were there.
Oh, no. So it's dangerous to go there, but you've been there how many times, Ararat?
I've climbed the mountain four times in the last 3 years.
Four times, and the story goes way back. A few years ago, I read a book, The Search for Noah's Ark, by Bob Cornuk. And the story goes way back to a man in World War II, Ed Davis. Could you tell that account and then bring us forward?
Ed Davis was a friend of mine. He was found actually by Don Shockey in Albuquerque. Shockey had climbed the mountain five times. He was lecturing, and this man came to him and said, "Yeah, I've been there." But Ed Davis was stationed at the base of the mountain in World War II. He was with the Army Corps of Engineers, and he saved the life of one of the Kurdish village chieftain's sons. And they certainly believe in hospitality and in gratitude, positive characteristics of the Muslim religion. And they adopted him into the tribe, and as a part of the adoption ceremony at the end of the summer, carried him up to show him the ark. There was a storm, huge storm. When he got there, he got within about 100 yards of it, but could examine it through the Army field glasses. We've, I believe, identified that valley. It had broken into two pieces at that point.
Now, he had made a drawing.
Yes, he did himself. I have his drawing, but the best one was with a commercial artist that he talked to, and the two of them produced the drawing. I think that's the one you have reference to.
Right.
That valley has now filled up. It's about 90 feet deep with ice. It's very similar to the situation that we see in Greenland, where the World War II airplanes were abandoned, ironically, the very same year that Ed Davis saw the Ark, 1943. And since then, there's 260 feet of ice that have built up over those World War II airplanes. 90 feet is similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the spot we're very interested in, identified by satellite telemetry, is 23 feet under the surface, or at least the highest part of the Ark.
You believe Ed Davis was brought to this location because actually there were Kurds who knew from their own hikes that there was ruins of a boat up on the mountain.
They had been there numerous times, right?
So you believe he went there, and from his recollection, he produced the drawing, and you think it's accurate, and now it's covered with ice.
We have four different eyewitness accounts that correlate. Ed Davis, I think, is the one that's most detailed. And, of course, I knew Ed Davis, and so that gave some advantage there. But four of them correlate and come from different places, totally isolated, different parts of the world, different times, but are talking about the same thing. The thing that really brought our attention to it was some information from satellite telemetry that helped us see what he was talking about.
Now, satellite telemetry, I have no idea if you know Dr. Ed Holroyd.
Yes.
Do you know Dr. Ed?
Yes, I do.
He's been on this show. He's a local resource. He's an expert. In fact, he teaches at a college here, in a government college. He teaches telemetry. He's done this for 20-some years to students how to read satellite data of the Earth's terrain. That's his profession.
Right. Unfortunately, we can't talk a whole lot about this particular satellite because,
All right. Well,
let's just say we can't talk about it.
All right.
And so we can't base claims on that, but it did tell us where to look.
Told you where to look.
So this past year, we acquired the help of Dr. John Bryant as his doctorate from A&M. He has professional license as an engineer and a geologist and a geophysicist and a cartologist.
And he went with you on site.
He climbed the mountain to 17,000 feet. We did a survey, a 60 by 30 meter survey with ground penetrating radar, as well as utilizing electrical resistivity. That's what he did his dissertation on, remote sensing with these methods, and looked at the place that the satellite had told us about. Can't talk about the satellite. All right, let's just check with something that we can talk about. And the computer spit out a beautiful picture of exactly what we were looking for. We had a number of delays.
Now, let me see if I could understand that. So you have ground-penetrating radar. You have a couple different technologies. And you set it up on ice and snow, and then beneath a few feet of snow is ice. And it's going to produce a printout screen display of what it's finding.
Yes.
Is that strictly coming from an industry standard piece of equipment, or are you able to tweak that output?
No, this is standard methodology. I haven't tried to learn that. This is Dr. Bryant's expertise. He's one of the leading experts in the world. He has a large firm in Dallas, Bryant Engineering.
Okay. So this is the output of state-of-the-art technology, yes, for what's beneath the ground that we're walking on.
Right. Actually, the device that we had that was drug across the ice in the grid was then connected to our sat phone, satellite phone, that has a data port. And it broadcast the data back to his office in Dallas, which then turned around and broadcast it back to us up on the mountain. So we could
Amazing,
get the feedback.
Isn't it?
But we were able to see the picture under the ice. The upper part is 23 feet down. That's our target for this summer. We're going back and making a big hole right there at that spot.
This summer, because in the summer, obviously, the conditions are more agreeable, and you got. I've seen photographs. You guys have already tried digging. You've excavated some of the snow on that location.
Right. We got down to within about 20 feet, but we were off. Actually, we had purchased a $12,000 global positioning device, GPR. They neglected to tell us it didn't work in eastern Turkey. It didn't coordinate with satellites that were available, so we had to use a Kmart. Yes. And we got close. That was the year that our partner, our colleague, was captured.
2009.
But we came back this year and almost died. That's a long story. But anyway, we were delayed, finally got all the equipment in place and had one day to do the survey, 30 by 60 grid. And it spit out the picture just as we anticipated.
Oh, my.
So we're very excited about that. Our permit ran out, and so we had to leave.
Now, you haven't gone there under cloak and dagger cover of darkness. You
No.
were invited there.
Yes, and we're working with two Turkish universities. Ataturk is one of them. That's one of the requirements. We pay a very significant amount of money for the national, state, and local permits, as well as additional monies, but well over $100,000 necessary for the permits just to be there. We have a great deal of opposition from the Turks who say, we're the ones ought to be doing this, and say, well, why haven't you?
Because the Muslims would like to find Noah's Ark if it's out there.
Absolutely.
Because they trace their belief to the God of Abraham, and Abraham is a descendant of Noah and Noah's son Shem.
There's
just like Ishmael is.
More confidence in that story among them than there is among us, unfortunately.
Yeah. And they circumcise their kids not at 8 days of age like Isaac was, but at, 8, 10, 12, 13 like Ishmael was.
Yeah.
So here we are 4,000 years later, and the whole world is still doing the exact same thing. And you got atheists who say, oh, those Jews, they were just an insignificant tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. The God of Abraham is... That's the world's belief in one God stems from the God of Abraham.
That's a major part of it, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, too bad they don't recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah.
Which is what Abraham was about.
That's right. So, okay, so you're heading back there, Dr. Don Patton, and that'll be this summer.
We'll be leaving the last part of July, August, first part of August. We should be there standing on.
Any openings on the trip?
You don't want to go, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Sane people would not.
Yeah. Well,
it's very dangerous.
And is it rude for me to say you're not in your 40s any longer?
No, I'm not. I plan to spend my 70th birthday on the mountain this year.
You do.
But I've been kept in shape by that mountain for the last 20 years. I work hard.
It will keep you in shape. If you know you got to go, you have no choice.
We had an alpinist with us this past year who's climbed Everest and been to the North Pole and runs marathons. He says it's about like running a marathon 2 days in a row with a 50-pound pack and no air.
Oh, my. It's pretty rough.
It's difficult.
All right. So
we certainly appreciate all the prayers.
Dr. Don Patton, how do we get more information on all this? We've intentionally skipped a lot of the specific dates and names and organizations because we had very little time to describe the story. But tell us about your website and what somebody can get to get the particulars. We've got 1 minute.
We're not making a public claim that we found it. We plan to do that this summer. But at Bible.ca/tracks.
Bible.ca/tracks. /tracks, T-R-A-C-K-S.
You'll see the geological evidence that we've been working on for years, and then a way to get the videos and order them online.
Mm-hmm.
That we have 16 different videos regarding creation science.
All right. And Dr. Patton, thank you for having come out here for Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. And Lord willing, if you're available, we'd like to do another show on the human footprints in the Paluxy River Basin down there in Texas.
Right. We'll try to show pictures over the radio.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Don Patton. Wow, what an honor to have Dr. Don in the studio. Our website is kgovkgov.com. This has been a special edition of Real Science Friday. Looking forward to having Fred Williams back. Have you heard of the Plot Manuscript? It's 330 pages, an overview of the entire Bible. People who have read it have said it's helped them understand and enjoy the Word of God. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. I wrote the Plot years ago. We sell it at a money-back guarantee, $49.95 plus shipping and handling. And if you don't feel that you really understand the Bible now, we want to give you your money back. So go online to order it at kgov.com or call us at 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278.